Are you stuck?
On today's episode, Cassie gets stuck in the couch. Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I'm your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie. And I had an aneurysm not long ago.
Yeah, the Blu-ray here really gave Cassie a perplexion.
See, here's the thing. I don't count well. And as far as I knew, we were on the 20th anniversary. However, the Blu-ray, which I think this might be the only way that you can watch. No, it's on Tubi.
It's on Tubi. There's also a DVD of it.
But yeah. The Blu-ray says 40th anniversary edition. And that just really, really gave me a brain tummy upset.
Yeah, because it was the 20th anniversary, but this is the 40th anniversary edition of the 20th anniversary. Because this came out around the 60th anniversary of the show, Who's On First? Doctor Who's On First? Today we are going to watch the 20th anniversary story, The Five Doctors, featuring Doctors 1 through 5.
40th anniversary edition.
Yeah, this is the 40th anniversary Blu-ray of the 20th anniversary.
It's the 20th anniversary. Five Doctors, 20th anniversary. 10th anniversary last week. This week we're doing 20.
So the reason it is the 40th anniversary edition is they have done some, they've given it a nice like polish over the sound. They've cleaned the visuals. They've added some special effects. And I've not seen this yet. So I'm curious what they look like. I expect I know one effect that they changed. And I will tell you what it is when we see it, because I don't want to spoil it, because if it's still the way it was, it's very silly. But I imagine they fixed it because it was it didn't look too great.
So this particular edition that we're watching is like when they re-released the first three Star Wars films.
In a sense, they didn't. They're not going to do quite as big an overhaul as they did on those, where they like redid whole in the first Star Wars movie. Jabba the Hutt wasn't in it. It was just a guy.
Yeah.
That was like a whole big deal. This one, they might have updated one or two effects.
Okay.
It's not going to look drastically different. It will mostly be like cleaned up footage, cleaned up audio, and then maybe they've
like when they made Cinderella's dress blue instead of its original silver. Yes.
Yeah, something like that. So I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know exactly what it is. I just have guesses as to what it is. I'm excited to see it because I've not seen this version.
Fun.
Yeah.
Party.
But speaking of things not seen, there are a few things you have not seen.
Lot of things I haven't seen, Zach.
In this episode, you have not yet met Anthony Ainley's version of the Master. He was not the actor to take over from Roger Delgado, but he was the next prominent actor to be after Roger Delgado, because the actor, they had a portrayal between these two that looked like a burnt corpse. But Anthony Ainley is the first one to really get to play the role that way, like the Master would. So you get to see a new version of the Master. You will get to see a classic Sarah Jane Smith.
Okay.
You'll get to see
same actor, yeah.
Yeah, same actress, okay. Elizabeth Sladen. You will get to see you briefly saw her in the Fifth Doctor story that we watched. Tegan, she is in here, and we also have another companion by the name of Turlough. His name is Vistler Turlough. You will also see more of Time Lord culture, because this episode has some settings that take place on Gallifrey. You will also briefly see the Fourth Doctor's companion, whose name is Romana. She is the only Time Lord companion Doctor ever had. It's very brief, so you won't get too much of her, but you will also get a very brief look at a classic canine.
My boy!
Cassie's excitement for the episode immediately went up, even though I only said it was brief.
I don't care.
Yes, but
It'll be like when I'm at a convention looking for Waldo. I don't know where he is. I just know that there's some fucker there dressed up as Waldo, and I gotta find him.
But yeah, there's a lot of things we can look forward to here. Do you have any expectations for the five doctors?
I imagine that there will be five doctors.
You would think that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
The title. Yeah.
I can imagine Hartnell is a video.
I was going to. That's actually a good segue here into the Cassie Prefassi today.
Oh, boy.
Because that was sort of the first question I had asked, is that you know that William Hartnell passed away.
Yes.
Shortly after the three doctors. So obviously he would not be available to fill the five doctors unless they
It would be shocking if he was.
It would be probably a bit gross if they did a Weekend at Bernie's with someone who had been 10 years dead.
You would imagine if he was embalmed.
Yeah. So how do you think they got the first doctor involved in the story? Is it just stock footage, as you suggested? Did they recast him with a new actor? Or is his only presence as a statue? And the trick to this is all three of these are true for a doctor, but not necessarily the first doctor. Only one of them is true for the first doctor.
What year was this?
This was 1983.
Okay. All right. So this would have been 83, 8 years.
Yeah.
After
he passed away.
I'm trying to figure out like if it was a recasting, if it would have been like a whoa, too soon, buddy, or if it's a recasting in the general sense of like, oh, it's just the back of his head, so technically recasting, yes, but
yeah,
not,
you've given yourself two options for it to be a recast,
and they're all true.
They are all
true, of different doctors.
They're all true for some doctor, for at least one doctor, but only one of them is true for the first doctor.
I think if anybody is going to be a statue, it feels most appropriate that it would be the first.
Okay.
Because it's tough to say. Because
you kind of wanted to. You want to know who the statue is. I can see the look in your eyes.
I do want to know who the statue is. But that's why I was like, oh, it could be Troughton. That makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. But if he's still living at this point, and for all intents and purposes, healthy.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. And then I remember from the last episode you saying that for this, they specifically did not write a whole lot of scenes with Troughton and Pertwee together.
Yeah, a lot of the doctors don't really come together until the last episode.
God damn it. Okay.
Is he stock footage? Do they recast him? Or is
because
he only
if
a
Baker's
statue?
Not in this, I'm going to freak out. Oh my God, this might be an instance where it's I have no strong feelings one way or the other, so I might legitimately just toss a three-sided coin.
Heads, tails, midsection.
Yeah. I might have Monty decide for me. Monty, I need you to wake up for a second. I need you to pick something for me.
We have a mystery for you to solve, boy.
All right, Monty. Sniff my fingers. For one, for two, or for option number three. Sniff one of them. He couldn't care less.
I don't even watch this show.
Oh my God, he's...
I don't know, like when you watch it, because you just sit around the couch for 2 hours and talk.
Well, here's the thing, is sometimes I'll have him help me pick out which tarot deck I'm going to read from. Also not helpful. He's not good at... he's indecisive.
He's a bad decision maker is what he is.
Okay, so let me see. Let's see which part of his body twitches if I touch it. The head, the midsection, or the tail. So head, okay. I'll pet. Midsection. I got a little reaction from that. And then tail. I am getting no reaction from the tail. So head or midsection?
Yeah, so it means he's either only stock footage or they just recast him.
Fuck, okay. I'm going to say stock footage.
Okay, so Cassie believes that the first doctor is represented only in stock footage.
Yeah.
You're sticking with that? Okay.
Well, because then I'm also imagining you could be using the term recasting still in the way that I had said of like, oh, it's just somebody from the back.
Okay.
It's a shot of the doctor running or something, and then it's like, oh, well, yeah, that's not actually them. It's just somebody wearing a wig and wearing the costume.
Yeah.
Doing a Scooby-Doo style run. Stock footage. That's my final answer.
All right.
It's my final answer.
Alrighty then. So Cassie believes that the First Doctor is represented entirely through stock footage of Bill Hartnell. And for the second part of this, this is a more just a fun question. I was curious about how you would think about 80s television. This story also features a new enemy called the Rastan Warrior Robot, a robot capable of moving faster than lightning.
Oh, no.
How do you think they conveyed being faster than lightning in 1983?
OK, hold on. OK, this is a good question for me. Thank you. Thank you for throwing me a bone. Even if I'm wrong, I am so excited to see how wrong I could possibly be. Okay, they either do the SpongeBob thing where they just have him say how fast he ran.
You want to see him move to that mountain and back?
Want to see me do it again? Yeah. Either that or they could employ some Wallace and Gromit logic where the like background is zipping by super fast, but then it's just like a steady shot of the robot to indicate that there is motion happening. Motion blur, I feel like, is going to play a big part in this as well. So it's either you just only see a really good close up of the robot as the environment around them is zipping by, or it's just like robot will start to run and then you just see like a flash of light and like motion blur as it like vanishes off screen and then into another area.
So to simplify that, you think that he just like you'll see like a little bit of movement and then he disappears and then he moves some more?
Maybe.
Okay.
I think so.
I'm just trying to make sure that I get it. I want to make sure that you feel like I'm portraying your statement accurately.
Like if I could show it, I would, but this is an audio medium, so that would be
all right. I feel like that's hard. Those work just as well. All right. Well,
because I said a couple, so I'm not going to say which one I'm landing on, so that way I can
hedging bets as usual. I see.
Yeah. I mean, I've been wrong. Like the past three episodes, I have been so unbelievably wrong.
Oh man.
Let me have this.
Well, we'll find out if you're right at all this episode as we watch the 20th anniversary special, The Five Doctors.
Better be right about one of them.
Hey there, fellas. Are you tired of being cold? Tired of being weak? Tired of looking like some kind of guy who doesn't own a lion's mane on his shoulders? At Fur Coats for Men, we don't do rabbits. We don't do mink. We don't even do ethically sourced. No, sir, we do lions. We do bears. We do sharks. That's right. Our coats are stitched together from the untamed essence of nature's most terrifying apex predators. You want to feel unstoppable? Try walking into the office wrapped in the fur of a grizzly bear that probably had a six-pack. Or respect at the gym? Nothing says I bench press 400 like a tiger pelt that still smells faintly of jungle thunder. Rip the sleeves off, wear it shirtless, growl at strangers, it doesn't matter. You put on one of our coats, and suddenly you're not just a man in line at the grocery store. You're a man in line at the grocery store, wearing a coat made from shark fur. Fur coats for men, because leather is for wallets and wool is for sheep. Real men wear apex predators.
And we are back from the Five Doctors.
This is it. Four doctors.
Half. Four and a half.
Yeah.
Four and a cameo.
He's stuck. No, he just didn't want to be there.
Yeah. Tom Baker had declined to come back for the 20th anniversary episode. So they had. Remember how I said that there were three different things that they brought in for other doctors they had used? I had said stock footage, I think, in the first half, but I meant archive footage.
Yeah.
They had archive footage. They did recasting, which is what they did for the First Doctor. They had him played by one William Herndahl.
How convenient.
Yeah, it's easy for them to remember. No one had to forget his name was Bill. Except that his name is Richard Herndahl, not William Herndahl. I don't know why I said that. I think I even say Richard later in the episode. Anyway, whatever. We'll go on. And then they used a statue for the Fourth Doctor segments. They had used recorded footage from an unaired episode written by Douglas Adams called Shada. I think we had talked about this off pod.
We've been discussing it off pod for a minute.
Yeah, there was an episode that was meant to be like the season finale. It was where they had funneled like a lot of money into that production. And then when the episode got a few days into shooting, and then strikes happened and the episode never got finished. But because they had the footage lying around and they wanted to include the Fourth Doctor in some way, they just used the footage that they had and then stuck that the time quangle over it. So unfortunately, 4 was not present. It was just 1, 2, 3 and 5.
And it was 1, 2, 3, 4, like most of it. And then 5 is off doing his own thing.
Yeah, the fourth.
So it's the three doctors again.
Yeah, and the fourth doctor is stuck in, basically now he's stuck in his own time, Eddie.
Okay.
They keep having doctors just stuck in bubbles.
Statue, you said you were going to bring that up because I'd asked if they were.
Yes.
If they were the not 3D action figures.
Yes. So I want to see if I can find, it should be in here somewhere. If not, I can find it on my phone. But I was kind of hoping they would be in here somewhere. So to promote the episode, they, you know, obviously the episode is called The Five Doctors, and you don't want to spoil for everybody that one of the doctors isn't in it. But Tom Baker did not want to show up even for the promotional shoots. So to include him in the promotional shots, they've just, I'm pretty sure they just wheeled out a statue from Madame Tussauds. I believe it's just a wax statue they had set up. Dressed up like the doctor in his big scarlet outfit.
Amazing.
Hopefully we'll see one of those appear soon. But that was how they basically obfuscated that the fourth doctor was not in it, was they brought out a statue and they put a big hat on it so you couldn't see his face was not really his face.
Yikes.
Yep. We finally got to the pictures of Tom Baker here. And
yikes. Don't all pose around him. Oh, good canine.
Just didn't even try.
Yeah, I mean, it's also the fact that he's so tan.
Because he's a statue, he's never in a different pose either.
Because it's even like it's a demure statue where he's just standing like straight. It's in a very dynamic pose.
Yeah, so it's very clearly like he's not moving. Anyway, then we got that laugh out of the way.
Yeah, that's yeesh. The man that they got for Hartnell is not, it's somebody who, if you hadn't told me, I would have gone, they can go back in time. What astounding archive footage.
Yeah, he does. He has
amazing technology.
They do have very similar facial structures for sure.
And a wig, obviously.
Yeah, but even the first doctor wore a wig, so they just put the same wig on him. Yeah. So that I'm certain does a lot of the work for him too.
I think it also doesn't help that when you have the face of a medieval wizard, it is not hard to just find somebody else who also has the face of Merlin.
Yeah, for sure. It's a little sad that because Troughton and Pertwee had sort of a rivalry, I guess, that had gotten maybe overblown through the rumor mill. They had decided not to have the doctors really interact until the end of the story. And I think the story suffers for it a little bit. I think having them all cordoned off really, like, you do get a lot of fun dynamics. Like the second doctor and the Brigadier are really fun together.
Hold on.
K-9 just popped up in the photo gallery.
Shush. Everybody stop.
The real hero of the story is here.
Mistress. I love him so much. I don't know if I can express how happy I was. Because you said cameo. You didn't say he was going to be talking half as much as he was.
He's got like a full 2 or 3 minutes in it that he shows up for.
Mistress, grave danger.
And he's behind a beware of dog sign.
That he printed out himself. He made that sign and went, here you go.
Let Mistress, them know I am here.
Just in case, do not want to startle.
Would hate to be a bother.
I love him. I love him so much.
And you got a little bit of classic Sarah Jane, too. You haven't really seen any of that.
She's so pretty.
Yes. And she's also a very talented actress. Like, she's they don't give her a lot to do. Like her first.
Yeah, hold on to the other one.
Yeah, there's also a Dalek. I didn't tell Cassie about the Dalek in the story.
You did not tell me. Sarah Jane, so pretty.
Yeah.
A very good actor.
Yeah, they find a good... she plays, like, very strong-headed in a way that doesn't feel like someone who is naggy or
strong-headed,
mean.
But not stubborn.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good...
A word that I wrote down... for the first time in my whole life, gumption.
Yeah, she's definitely got that. And because she makes intelligent decisions that only defers to the doctor a little bit. Like, she'll be like, why are we going towards the big tower? That sounds like a dangerous place to go. And the doctor's like, that's the only place to go right now. And so Sarah Jane kind of gives up in that response because that is correct. But I like that she's like, why are we doing this? It's very akin to Clara that we have right now. Just the no.
She makes decisions based off of what is going to keep me alive.
Yeah.
Is also so gratifying when she's like, I should have listened to K-9. I was wrong.
I should have brought him along. And Cassie's like, yes, you should have.
Yes. Could you imagine how much better this special would have been if you just had, oh, what?
Go to the tower.
We must go. There are four doctors.
Four masters? Oh. I am confused. My processes cannot handle this.
I just really want a shot of Hartnell interacting with a robot dog. Please.
I think this episode is mostly fun because it doesn't feel like a normal episode.
Well, especially because we watched the
three doctors,
the re-release. Well, no, oh. The format of this in particular, there are no commercials. Duh. There are no end credits. It just is.
It just plays start to finish. Yeah.
Played and felt much more like a movie,
yeah.
Which I could also tell in my note taking because halfway through I went, LOL, forgot we were recording a podcast. So I have no notes for like the first third of this.
Whoopsie. you were too enchanted by K-9.
Yeah, I was thinking about K-9 and then I saw Dalek and I went, ugh, my two wishes right out the gate. I don't need to pay any more attention. No notes.
Best episode.
No, well,
it is funny because I do think that another part of keeping them separate also entails just some really weak moments in storytelling.
Well, keeping them separate means that we were effectively watching four different episodes.
Yeah, that just all happened to be set at the same time in the same place, just with different doctors.
Yes,
I would agree with that. I also think it's interesting to watch. Specifically, part of the story is the doctors being like abducted and taken out of their times. And so the fifth doctor is like, oh, I'm being erased piece by piece. But the only way he can convey that is just by like gently grabbing his chest like he's having a heart attack.
It feels like, I don't know if you've ever seen Wicked on stage. I think we've talked.
Yeah, I have seen Wicked on stage. Yes.
It's the moment where Bach grabs his chest and goes, my heart, it feels like it's. Just shrinking. Spoilers for anybody who hasn't seen a like 20-year-old show. But it had that same like, I have to convey there's something happening in my chest.
Yeah, but it's such a like a strange thing for someone to do that it just feels like, oh, that's just an actor like clutching himself.
Well, especially because there is no other physical change.
Yeah.
Because it's a TV show. You could literally have his color start to disappear, you know,
but even just if he had like a stronger reaction than just like clutching his chest, if he had like fallen to a knee or like,
I mean, he did more and more.
Yeah. By the end of it, he was like fading from existence. But it was just like, there was no like sense of urgency to it that I think it wanted to have.
What I mean by, since this is a television show, you can, every time he has an episode,
mm-hmm.
have his like frame rate freak out, like, you know, have him physically stop in time when that happens.
Yeah.
You know, and have all of the other actors around him going, what is happening?
Mm-hmm.
But something else that I did clock that I had mixed feelings was just the companion shuffle, but only between 1 and 5.
Yeah, that would have been a little more fun to see. Again, I understand that it would have been difficult logistically, but it would have been fun to have to see more of how like these dynamics shake up in different ways. Because the only other one that we kind of get is Sarah Jane in 3. And that's just because Sarah Jane is better known as 4's companion. But Sarah Jane was 3's last companion.
Yeah.
So it's not even really like a dynamic change. It's more just like, do you remember this? So it's a little bit of a bummer. Hopefully future crossovers do a little bit more with that.
Is there other future crossovers?
We have the 2 doctors, and then I don't think it's a spoiler to tell you that the Day of the Doctor is also a multi-doctor story.
Okay.
As far as I know, they don't really do much with the mixing of the companions. I really feel like they should. Maybe one day in the future we will.
Didn't you say that the actor who is Susan, she's still living?
Yes. Right? Yeah. The actor who plays the doctor's granddaughter, Susan, is still alive.
Put her in something.
Right. Let her regenerate before she dies. I have such strong opinions about how they have not brought her back to do the thing.
Do we know if it's because of them just not writing something for her? Or is it her saying, no, I'm
no, she. She does Big Finish stuff all the time.
Oh, she wants to.
Yeah, she. I'm
fucking
sure,
put her in something.
I'm sure she would be more than happy to. Without doing too much, my understanding is she had a role in the most recent episode, in the most recent series, and then something happened and that fell through. And I'm really mad about that. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Gonna put that soapbox aside for a few years. Yeah, I think what makes this episode interesting in a way that most episodes just don't do is these crossovers really dig more into the Time Lord lore.
Oh, I think that's part of the reason why for the first third, I have spent a good part. I will just refer to this as a episode.
Okay.
So special series, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. I spent a good part of this episode just really trying to figure out what the fuck am I missing? What is happening? Because I understand. I know Doctor. I know Gallifrey. I know he stole a TARDIS and has been on the run, but because he's doing enough good things, the council's just like, and we'll just let him. He'll be our guy on the outside.
Yeah.
I, though, had such a hard time after, because I was like, all right, we've seen the bleep blop room where they have their guys trying to figure out what's happening with the energy. And then they come into what I just dubbed as an upper middle class Miami realness bathroom. Because it's of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that room, like the chancellor room, indicated so much what year this was filmed. Like it was nobody's business with the faux pink marble and the draping that's not really doing anything other than just being there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I hated that room so much.
I mean, the Time Lord aesthetic has always been kind of gaudy.
Yes, but at least in the last special we saw with the one like control room.
Yeah,
it was very like it's still of its time, but like whatever, it's space room. It's space room with bleep blops. Yeah. And yeah, we have like weird pillars and whatever. This one,
the 80s too muchness of it all is really, I think the 80s muchness is a lot of what weighed down Doctor Who in this era, was just like the way.
And also, like, hot take, I don't like 5.
That's not really a hot take. A lot of people don't like 5.
5 is not super charismatic. He's just kind of there.
5 is a charming guy, but he's not weird in the way that the Doctor is often best portrayed as when he is weird.
Like this 5 is cute. Like that's what I was getting at more is like, and it also doesn't help that they put him in beige.
Yeah.
He's got blonde hair.
He even describes himself as agreeable. Like he's the most agreeable. It's like, yeah, in the same way that like celery is. The celery on your lapel.
Oh, well, because like he even makes a comment about three.
Mm-hmm.
I'm forgetting what the comment is. But as three is walking away into the TARDIS,
he says, like, I am certainly not the man I used to be. Thank God.
Yeah. And it's like, OK, but at least like.
What do you mean you don't want to wear like cool velvet suits?
Three has an aesthetic and also is like cocky in a way and proud. And you just don't seem to be any of that. I do wish that we'd been able to see what five would be like around four.
Yeah,
because I can see the jump from three to four.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is a like characteristic jump that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
But going from four to five doesn't really make sense.
I feel like there are a few episodes of five where I think his character is a lot stronger.
Yeah, but he just, even the ones that we've seen, he's forgettable.
Yeah, well, he's also the ones that we've seen have the unfortunate circumstance of having him be around the sexiest voice Cyberman we've ever heard.
Oh, yeah.
And then being compared to one, two, and three doctors who are all very unique and weird in a way that five isn't.
Mm.
And so I think it's less like Peter Davison is doing a bad job and more there. He's surrounded by people who are like on a different level of work. They're doing something that is intrinsically more memorable. I feel bad saying that about Pete, because Peter Davison seems like a good guy. And he's, you know, a good actor, and he seems
fine.
Yeah, he seems charming and fun. It's just compared to the weirdness of his predecessors, there is something missing.
The weirdness of the predecessors, and then the weirdness of the people after him as well.
Yeah, I do think that in a way,
you supposed to compare five to to man with the eyes of a haunted doll? Paul McGann.
I feel like they use part of that to the story's advantage a little bit near the end when five gets mind controlled and he's telling the other doctors, just stay where you are, don't do anything. He's like, yeah. He's like so bland, and everyone doctors like, that seems normal to me.
Yeah.
seems a little off, but you know, nothing too out of character for him. It is interesting to think about him being David Tennant's favorite doctor.
Yeah.
I can understand being a little kid and seeing that doctor. And being just like,
because five reminds me of like the substitute like English teacher that you had where you're like, oh, yes, we get Mr. Davidson today.
Yeah. Peter Davidson almost plays the doctor too cool, if that makes sense. Like it's the same problem I have with David Tennant.
He plays the doctor like a frat guy, but like a good one. Like, yeah. Like when you find out that they're in a frat, you're like, oh, I'm surprised to hear that, but okay.
Yeah, it's like you're almost disappointed to find out he plays golf.
Like, so there was a guy that I went to that I was in college with he rode horses.
Mm-hmm.
He was in theater because he specifically wanted to be an opera major, but didn't like the way that the, like, music major was run.
Mm.
So he was like, I can still sing, like, I still want to, like, figure out performance because I do have the chops for singing. I just want to figure out how to plug the two and together, mm-hmm. you know, like you do when you've got a good brain on you. So strong, so handsome in a frat. And I was like, when I found that out, I went, you are a cowboy opera singer in a fraternity? And do you know
fewer traits?
Yeah. Do you know who one of his favorite people was?
Was it you?
It was me. Every time I came around, he was just like, oh, man, things are going to get weird. It's like, yeah, they are. That's who Peter Davidson reminds me of, is that person that has so many other, like, so many very good redeeming qualities. But then there's just that one thing where you're like, okay.
Mm-hmm. I do think it's interesting that the story does
pick, like a Nepo baby. Continue.
The story picks companions to partner up with the doctors to give like the three big dynamics the doctor does have.
Yeah.
He's got, you know, with Susan, he's got the, like, the girl that screams his name and is terrified of stuff and calls after him, mm-hmm. which works for Susan being his granddaughter.
Yeah. She's literally like that is her parental.
Yeah, and then two,
like, that is her parent.
And then three's got Sarah Jane, who is not the girl who's going to come screaming after her, but is someone who is very like, I would really rather be doing a lot of different things than what we're doing right now.
Like, I could be at home. I could be at home.
I could be at home right now. I wish
I could be talking to my robot dog.
Take a look at the I really wish I wasn't here right now button.
Yes.
And then you've got the Brigadier with two, who, and the Brigadier is way more like adventure. I mean, he's a soldier, so there's a part of him that is more.
He is keen to adventure, but he's also like, why are we doing that? Whenever you're around,
he's not annoyed by the adventure. He's annoyed by the doctor.
He's so charmed when he sees the doctor, but then he has a split second of, oh no. Like, oh, good, a friend I haven't seen in a minute. Something's going to happen.
Every time he's in town, man. Shit goes down.
Fuck.
Yeah, it's very I think that's a fun way to play it, especially since, you know, five is kind of waylaid for most of the story.
Five is waylaid. Four is not.
And then they throw in one last monkey wrench of adding the master into it. But they have the master being like, hi, I'm here to actually help you this time. And the doctor keeps shitting all over him.
I love that. I don't know how you feel about that. I fucking love that.
Oh, I think that's perfectly in character, especially for three. Three, who's like, I had an entire season where everything was you're doing one story after another. I'm certainly not going to trust you now. I'm taking your coaster and leaving.
Yeah. The master going, look, I got this from the council. It's like, it's a fake. No, it's really not. You stole it.
I'll be sure to return it at the next opportunity.
Yeah.
After it buzzes and my table is ready.
Yeah, for real.
I thought that was very funny, especially because, you know, there are two different doctors that see him and know him, because the master wasn't a character for one or two. Mm-hmm. So they don't have a relationship with him, but three and five both do. And so it's funny for both of them to be like, yeah, no, we don't trust you.
My favorite thing is three telling Sarah Jane, yes, my best enemy.
And as they're driving and they drive off, and then the master finds five, and five is like, you know, the master's like, you'll find this impossible to believe, doctor, but I'm here to help you. And the doctor's like, well, like Alice, I try to believe three impossible things before breakfast, which I find it a very charming thing to say.
Yeah.
But it is also blatantly untrue, because the second the master gets knocked out by a Cyberman, he's like, all right, time to see where this button actually goes.
Boop. Yeah. Let me take your yo-yo. Thank you.
I do like that the third doctor gets to drive around in Bessie. I think that's a nice thing to bring that back.
I forgot. I wrote down a quote that I liked from Sarah Jane.
What was that?
Which was three explaining to her what was going on, and then her saying, ah, I see. No, I don't. Never mind.
That's so genuine. Just be like, uh-huh. Got onto that.
That's literally our dynamic on this podcast. Is me going, mm-hmm. I am following.
I think one of my favorite moments is actually between the two and Brigadier, when two is just like, have I ever led you astray before, Brigadier? And Brigadier's like, yes, often, in fact. And he's like, well, this will be the exception then. That feels like you and that also feels like you and me bits.
Who is who then?
It doesn't matter. It depends on which one of us is feeling who? Which one of us is feeling silly and trying to talk the other into doing something stupid.
We've glossed over some of my other favorite thing. We did mention, okay, Dalek.
Okay.
Dalek was just as confused why he was there.
Just chasing
the second he sees the doctor, though, he goes, oh, I get it. Exterminate.
Chasing the doctor around this hall of mirrors.
Yeah.
Exterminate. And then the way to solve this is apparently just to shove Dalek into a corner. Literally just take him and shove him in there. And then he'll just fire his laser at the mirrors.
Him being under attack, a.k.a. pushed into a corner.
Can you imagine them?
That's so funny.
Can you imagine one of them pushing a Dalek now?
Oof. No. Well, because this Dalek, I went, light as a feather, stiff as a board. But this was, I think, the first time, at least for me, that I've seen what vintage Dalek looks like.
Yeah, at least
the
in color.
The little guy inside this one.
Yeah, this is the first time we've seen the creature Dalek, where it's just like a green brain with little tiny tentacles.
Yeah, they're freaking out.
You did say you wanted them to be more wiggly.
Hey, they're flapping around all over the place. I understand why they're so wiggly. They have a hard time controlling that thing.
Yeah.
I brought it on the topic of men in suits. Mm-hmm. I forgot how much I dislike this particular Cyberman. I have things that I like where I do like that each has their own like Vocaloid thing. So each one you are reminded, oh yeah, these are just guys. These are just literally people in suits. These Cybermen are also kind of pussies because they get killed so easily by metal toothpicks. Speaking of which, the seams on the world's fastest, jumpiest robot.
So I
understand too, vintage television. This is not meant to be watched on 4K. Mm-hmm. Therefore, there shouldn't be anybody sitting down saying, ah, I can see where the shoulder seam and the back seam. And
yeah. So the thing is, Cassie, I told you, I have not seen this
the updated
version before. I really want to show you what it looked like.
Please do.
In the original, because God, I wanted your reaction to it so bad. Let me see if I can just pull it up here. Like, there's no effect at all.
But it's still the jump. It's still the jump from one area to another. Oh, man. Even there are so many seams on this suit.
Like, there's a part of me that's like, I understand why they updated the effects.
I didn't clock that particular Cyberman also throws up. I don't know what he's throwing up. But that's also so funny.
Yeah, I wish you had. I almost wish we had watched this version instead, just because it's so much funnier to see the original effects.
I also do like that Three and Sarah Jane take the giant metal toothpicks. They don't do anything with them.
Yeah, they're just there to get them away from the robot so he doesn't get any more. I also want to show you what the original, because you saw the big crystal shape that they used in the Blu-ray. I would like for you to see what it was in the original.
Oh no, the sky triangles.
Just a singular triangle.
Two-dimensional. That's so funny. Oh my God.
I knew immediately. It's like, if they updated the effects, if they've only updated one effect, they updated the triangle. Because just, here it goes.
Yeah.
Bloop.
No, that's not real. That's an effect you do when you just learned how to work iMovie. Because I can buy into the Vantablack sky triangle. Not even a triangle, because the top is slightly shaved, so it's a sky shape.
Yeah, it's just. And there it is again. Now we've gone back for it to look at the second Doctor now.
Yeah, the sky shape is going after them.
This feels like a Playhouse Disney kind of villain.
No, you know what this reminds me of?
Here it goes. And bloop.
It's the way that it somersaults off the screen.
For me, it's literally flat. Like, you watch it like turn and it literally disappears.
Like I said, I can forgive that. I can forgive that. It's the way that they get captured inside of it and then it stretches and spins off stage.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's so funny. The only other one that I was really surprised that they obviously gussied up some teleportation effects because those were just fade ins. The only other one that I don't really understand why they did it was they changed the like vocal effect over Rassilon. Which I will say, I really like the way the actor plays Rassilon, because it's very
cheeky.
It's very cheeky, but it's also, I don't feel like you get a lot of villains that play this way. I feel like, you know, you have your like scene, I guess it's because he's not a villain. He's just sort of a very powerful character.
Yeah.
But I almost prefer the way they did this before, because they put this like interlacing effect over his face. Mm-hmm. I don't think they needed to do that. I really like the way he performs that, and I'm sad they filtered over it. Like, yeah. I feel like you lose something trying to make it sound more menacing.
Well, particularly too, since putting that like holographic,
like interlacing effect.
Striations. It feels appropriate for the 80s, mm-hmm. whereas keeping it like this makes it feel way more dated, which kind of works when you're dealing with doctors that started shows in the 60s and then 70s. Like it, there is a quality about it, but all the same, I prefer this.
I think, and you can agree or disagree with me here, I think the interlacing makes it feel more mechanical.
Yeah.
That there's some kind of electronic thing that's doing it. Whereas when it's just his face, there's almost more of a magical vibe to it, which is kind of what you're going for when someone's going to bestow immortality upon you via a ring.
Yeah, wearing a golden circlet covered in giant, I said it was ring pop gems.
They do look like ring pop gems because he puts on a little ring pop. I like that in the group, it seems they've decided that the first doctor is the smartest doctor,
mm-hmm.
Because he's the only one who is like, no, 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 you should take the immortality. That sounds like a great idea. You should do that. And so Rassilon's like, very well, he shall get the immortality he seeks. He puts the ring on and is like, well, welcome to the immortality, where you shall be a stone slab on my bed for the rest of your
life.
What
is with this show and turning people into stone slabs?
At least these ones don't dispense blowjobs, canonically dispensing blowjobs.
No, we don't know that.
You make a good point. They just don't seem like they can move their mouths.
They can definitely move their eyes, so they're doing something.
I've always wondered this, and I don't know if it's just because I'm like, coming from 2025 and I'm so apprehensive about stuff. Do you think they're trying to do a little bit of like a yellow face thing with Rassilon on there? Because he's got this hat on that feels at least Chinese inspired, if not directly.
Mm.
And then he's got this like not Fu Manchu, but like a facial hair that I don't think is traditionally Western.
If he had a name that was more racist sounding, I would say yes. But his name is Rassilon.
Yeah, his name is Rassilon. He doesn't do anything with his voice like that. He just speaks like this, and
they're going at it in such a way where it's you are meant to understand that Rassilon is a very ancient being. I feel like. Because even when they're doing the little like projection of his face, it's very clear to tell that whatever room he was in recording, they put one of those Chuck E. Cheese disco balls in front of him. Like there is a mystical quality about him that does feel very
ethereal.
Yes. A mystical quality in the way that we're familiar with genies in that way.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So,
I think that works for him too, because this is definitely like a monkey's paw genie wish, sort of like you get what you wish for. Be careful.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would say no.
Okay. It was almost entirely the hat that made me think that the facial hair was a little bit. I really just think they were trying to. I think
they just went, we need to stylize him in a way. And perhaps the actor already had
that facial hair.
Yeah. And they just went, okay.
Yeah. And maybe they just. Because they established this headband of Rassilon that we had mentioned covered in the
ring pop gems. His circlet covered in ring pop gems, Zach. Get it right.
So I wonder if the hat was meant to be evocative of that, and just because it had to have this ring around it and they put this little dollop.
Do you know what the circlet truly does remind me of?
What's that?
So growing up in Catholic school, we would oftentimes do living nativities.
Mm.
It looks just like what we would have used to indicate gold.
Okay.
You know, just something that's very ostentatious in a way, but it still feels old.
Yeah. I do like this, that now we've met Rassilon and Omega, two of the
Omega.
Yeah, Rassilon and Omega, two of the great pieces of foundational lore of time of the Time Lords. I think together they make a really interesting mythos. Mm-hmm. Like not pantheon feels wrong because they're not gods, but they are like origin characters.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got Rassilon, who is clearly inspired a lot of Time Lord culture.
Mm-hmm.
Like the seal of Rassilon is seen in a lot of places. All of the different stone slabs of people put up on the side of his tomb all have the giant collars that we associate with Time Lords. So that's,
and, yeah, the giant collars we associate Barisa, with Dime Lords, not the giant collars that we associate with Dracula Master.
Yeah, and Barusa wasn't wearing one when he died, so it seemed when he was like turned into stone, but the stone slab still had one on there, so it seems like that's just a thing Rassilon really likes is the big collars.
Yeah.
Put them in the capes I like. If they're going to watch me sleep, I want them to do it in discomfort.
In style. Of my choosing.
And then we know that Omega was who gave them the ability to like travel in time and space, and I think we've subtly made this story of who the Time Lords are and how they came to be, and it's through these like super powerful figures that have influenced, yeah, you know, huge
these
parts
three,
of
their... these several godlike beings.
Yeah. So I think that's really, I think it's a really interesting like background story to the story we've been told. Overall, I think this is definitely a downgrade from the Three Doctors. I think the Three Doctors was a bit much.
I feel like this truly felt like, what if Three Doctors again, but
one more.
We wanted two more, but nah.
I do wonder how the story would have felt if they had the fourth, if they would have been like, we can't have them go off in four different directions, we have to bring at
we
least
have
two
to
of them
team
together.
Up we need to team yeah. up at least one and five together for a little bit.
Yeah. So I wonder if they had.
Because I did like that pairing,
yeah,
of, okay, cool, we will have the first doctor acting with his most recent predecessor or with his most recent regeneration.
Yeah.
Like that. I liked that. That made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. I do like the little callback to the Three Doctors where the second doctor walks into the Brigadier's office and he's like, oh, you've redecorated. I don't like it. He just doesn't like redecorating in general, it seems. Not a big fan of feng shui, the second doctor. I do think that the plot is much simpler than the story from the third doctor's, where it's somebody brings in the doctor to get them into the tower because the thing that the treasure they want is in there. And so they brought in someone that they think can get into it. And just to be sure, they bring in four different versions of him. We'll try and do five, but one of them's stuck. Oh, well. And then when he starts to get caught, he's like, well, it's a good thing I framed my ally. And then he was conveniently shot in the hallway. Oh, no, his secrets. My secret shall never be revealed as long as you don't play my harp. This is that's some D&D-ass bullshit.
As long as you don't play my harp. But the key is right on the wall, so I don't forget it. And also, it's not a real harp. It's a Casio.
Yeah, you had clocked immediately that all the notes coming out of that piano.
Oh, my
that
God.
Harp were piano notes. I don't even think they were the same setting. I think that when the doctor's just like plucking at its one setting, but then when he's like actually playing the song, they like switch settings to like the harpsichord mode of the Casio for some reason.
Yeah, it's... You will never, I will never be fooled by a Casio.
I wonder if it was abbreviated on it. Instead of saying harpsichord, it just said harps. And they went, oh, that's what we're playing.
Maybe.
I like the actor playing Barusa. I feel like he has a very affable quality to him, where you kind of like him as the president, and suddenly the turn happens. You're like, oh no, I hate him, actually.
He reminded me of another actor, and I'm really angry. I can't remember his name right now.
Remember who they played or anything like that?
It's a movie that you would not have seen.
Oh, okay.
And I don't have my phone on me, so I can't look it up.
I can look it up.
Yeah, who was Mr. Dark in Something Wicked This Way Comes? Because he's one of those like British actors that I know I've seen.
Oh, Jonathan Pryce. Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, who the master of the Curse of Fatal Death, short.
Yeah.
Which I do like, sort of the moment where Sarah Jane is like saying hi to the fifth doctor, and the third doctor is like, it was lovely to meet you. And she's like, I don't understand. And the third doctor goes, I'll explain later. I'm like, ah, I said the thing. That's the thing they say.
Nobody was offered a jelly baby.
Nobody was offered.
Truly.
They were stuck in the time triangle.
That makes sense. Or they were in the Dalek's pocket. Who's to say?
I do love me a jelly baby.
I would like a something sweet.
I do like that it is weird that this big anniversary story is basically features the villain winning.
Yeah.
The villain gets everything they wanted and then finds out that the thing they wanted doesn't work.
Yeah, the anniversary story is just full of hijinks.
The anniversary story where the doctor fails four times, they fail.
Like truly, truly, it makes so much sense for an anniversary, like an anniversary story, to feature something happening with one.
Uh-huh.
And then every regeneration after that has to figure out a way to save themselves. Mm-hmm. That's the scariest thing when you don't expect it coming.
Please tell me that's on the scratchy board.
Hi, honey. I'm so glad to hear you like the scratchy board. Don't ever scare me like that again.
Yeah, I like these two figures. I also, it's weird to think back on The End of Time, the David Tennant last story, and remember Timothy Dalton's character and how that's supposed to be the same character as Rassilon the Face. My friend of the podcast, who I've brought up a couple times, Diamanda Hagen, has a video where she talks about how it feels like they fundamentally didn't understand the character.
Yeah.
Because in this story, the whole twist of it is that immortality is a curse. Like, he will, like, if someone who doesn't want to die is a bad thing and they get turned into stone.
Mm-hmm.
But in The End of Time, Rassilon very vehemently says, "I will not die." I'm like, I thought you were cool with that. I was under the impression that it was bad to not want to die.
Yeah.
Although I do. You seem to say it with such conviction now, Timothy Dalton, that I can't help but believe you. I wonder if they'll ever, I mean, without spoilers, they do eventually bring back Omega too. So they've brought back Rassilon and Omega. Hopefully they, I don't know. Cause I don't really like when they do the Time Lord stuff in the modern series very much. The old stuff feels kind of fun cause they're like establishing things, but when they're playing in the space in the new series, it feels like we just have these toys. We have to play with them because this is what we have.
Yeah.
I feel like the show gets a lot. I feel like the modern series, especially because it's gotten so good at high drama compared to the old show. And part of that is just like the actors are giving so much more.
I feel like it's also just a sign of the times, too.
Yeah.
Because even now, like when you think about shows that are popular.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, a lot of them do have lore, but when you have a show that already has a lot of lore, we established that there is a lot of lore in films and things that predecess it,
mm-hmm.
to then bring in a show and say, okay, well, we're going to keep on building on this world and add more things.
Mm-hmm.
It starts to get messy and convoluted, because we've seen that in a couple of the Star Wars shows that they've made. We've seen that in Rings of Power. It just doesn't work when you have something that is built in a rich world,
mm-hmm.
that has a lot of things already going on and a lot of people and players and stuff already in motion,
mm-hmm.
that to then keep bringing it up feels kind of like it feels less as a, oh, we're building upon this thing, and more as a, oh, we're building on this by bringing it back into the present and reminding people, like, this is a thing that's happened. This is the thing. We're doing the thing again.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like this? Do you like that we keep bringing up this thing? I feel like you can see it a lot in, like, cartoons that have run a very long course,
mm-hmm.
where it gets to a certain point where it's a, we don't really care about the story as much. We don't really care too much about the lore. We're just very curious to see what kind of hijinks these characters are going to get themselves into and then out of in a 22-minute period.
Yeah, I would say that earlier Doctor Who was way more about the story and by that I mean the plot, like there's often like unveiling mysteries, there's bases under siege, and like how do we get out of this problem.
Mm-hmm.
While there certainly is character drama, especially when the Doctor has a more strong-headed companion, I feel like those stories were way more focused on the story, whereas now it's way more focused on emotion, interpersonal drama, as well as interpersonal drama. So the moment in this episode that really indicated to me just how different the show is now,
mm-hmm.
was near the end, and it feels like so small, but to me it feels so contrasted. When the Brigadier sees Sarah Jane and Tegan,
uh-huh.
Tegan and Sarah, as they pointed out You got so excited. When the Brigadier sees them, he goes over to like and seems so happy to see them. But all he does is like shake their hand very professionally.
Yeah.
I feel like in the modern series, that definitely would have been like a big hug. You know what I mean?
Perhaps. But also he's not not a man of the cloth, but like he is a soldier.
Yes. I mean,
formality to that.
It doesn't make sense for the Brigadier. I'm not saying it doesn't make sense. I'm just saying I feel like the show where it is now, the way it's produced now, the way it's directed now is to go into high emotion.
Yes. I also don't think that you are. I think that the character of the Brigadier is one that can only exist during this time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that you could have the Brigadier in the modern series.
I guess. I mean, they do have his daughter. They have.
Well, yes, but as somebody who is a like military presence that is not omnipotent, but is a military presence mm-hmm. that is ongoing.
Yeah.
You know, yes, as an interest of like he's military, but it's unit like it is and it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
But as sort of like a big brother quality of like, well, here is this commander, here is this military personnel that is, yes, relying on the doctor to help explain the unexplainable,
mm-hmm.
but is also representative of the government.
Yeah.
In a way that now we just don't really like to do in media.
And you know, like I said, I don't think it's wrong to do it. I don't even think I don't think either version really is wrong to do it. I just think it's they're different. And I think that there's an ethos to the show that is different now than it was then. Again, not in a bad way. It's just different.
Well, it's also too like it. I would chalk that up more to be it's just a sign of its time.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that.
You know, like we especially during this time, we have way more stuff that is coming out and is new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a lot of new Alien versus Predator, Star Wars, Goonies.
Yeah, it's got a lot to compete with.
Like, there's a lot of things that are new, big, really cool sci-fi time travel things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you also have like your cool high fantasy stuff that's coming out. There's a lot of things for a show like Doctor Who to almost compete
mm-hmm.
with. But now we're in an era where there is a little, the new ideas that are coming out aren't like, oh, here's a new idea for like time travel.
Mm-hmm.
The new things that are coming out are, we'll take our world, but we're going to look at it under a microscope and really pick out the absurdity in the world itself.
Yeah.
Whereas a show like Doctor Who, you don't really need to do that because it is and isn't this world.
It's one, I think, yeah, I would also say it's hard to do that for something like Doctor Who because Doctor Who is one of like the foundational sci-fi shows.
And it's something that now at this point has such longevity.
Yeah. It's like this, Star Wars and Star Trek are like the three pillars of science fiction that all others stand either on top of or against.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I definitely understand that. I also forgot to mention this. I don't know where I would have dropped it in. Interesting thing about this episode, it actually premiered in America first.
Huh.
Yeah, it came out in America on the anniversary, on November 23rd. It came out 2 days early compared to the UK. The UK got it on the 25th. We got it on the 23rd. It aired on PBS.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't actually know why. It might have just been a coincidence. It's just the way things lined up. Like the day PBS showed Doctor Who, or maybe they wanted it on the anniversary. I don't actually know. I just know that it did. I'm sure somebody out there knows why, but I didn't do enough research into that to figure it out. I just thought it was an interesting little fun fact.
Yeah, it bizarre, but you know.
But we've got.
It's not like it aired 3 whole months before. 2 days is negligible.
But we've got one more multi-doctor classic story left with the two doctors that takes place during Colin Baker's era.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the sixth doctor and one other doctor. And you'll find out which one on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
I bet it's K-9.
I went to school. I have a PhD. Thank you.
Happy Who's Day, everybody. So glad you could be here. I hope you enjoyed that episode. If you did, be sure you are subscribed to this podcast wherever you're listening now. You can also find all of our other platforms and links to our social medias and our Patreon over at wimdpod.com. That's WIMDPOD.com. As you heard, next week we are looking at the last classic multi-doctor story, The Two Doctors. So I hope you're ready to walk in circles around a Spanish villa for 3 hours. I know we certainly weren't. Special thanks, as always, to our Big Daddy Dalek patrons, Andrew Blewett, David Gansel, Travis Aiken, Julian Erlebacher, and Daniel Lindgren. We'll see you next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Who's Days.